This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. Welcome. These are lessons. I think you caught me talking to myself again. I remember the last time we were together, I indicated to you that we're all sort of having dialogue with ourselves. That's a true thing. This is A Course in Miracles, and you're with me now at this time and place, demonstrating your newfound ability to reassociate with yourself, or who you think you are, within the station of situation in which you find yourself in regard to that body. We were going to take a look today at lesson 160. That is going to say you're already at home. Okay, let's review just for a second what we're talking about here. I want you to see with me that the offering of this course, based on our momentary association with each other, is to show you that you're actually not here at all. If you can accept it in a fundamental sense from me, that all of the continuity of time is going on at this time, it's going to be much simpler for you to understand the fundamental teaching that there is no world. Okay, what this lesson 160 is going to say is it's going to say you are at home and that fear is a stranger where you are and that you are identifying with the stranger that appears to be in your midst. The stranger that is representing the reflection of your own continuity of thought form. Say to me, myself. Can you say that to me? Myself. Do you see it? That self that you brought with you when you came into this situation of self-identity is actually a stranger to you, and it's why you're trying to figure out who you are. Would you try this with me just for a minute? We're together now, and you're watching me, and just for a moment, you let me watch you. And what we're going to share through this Course in Miracles is a moment of communication where we recognize that where we thought we were strangers to each other, we actually know each other very well. Can you see? Look at me. I know you very well. All right. We all come from the same source. We are all a single reality of mind that never changes, that's eternal in what we do. Now, I'm looking at you as a form of self that has sought and found an identity of associations within that body form that you actually believe are you. Let's try it. Say to me, I'm myself. Yeah, you're yourself. Who is there to question you? Say to me, the whole world questions me. Yes, you've identified yourself as yourself, but not being sure who you are, the whole world begins to question you because the whole world will represent your strangership with yourself, if there is such a word as strangership. Can you see that? You look around yourself within your conceptual modality and try to identify who you are. You're successful at it based on your necessity to hold on to the conflict that represents your identity. So you brought your identity with you right here and now, didn't you? Are you watching this video somewhere? Maybe it's on television. Maybe you just happened to dial onto it. Maybe somebody handed you a video and said, I think you better watch this. However it happened, whenever it happened, this is the time of this occurrence. Lesson 158, which we may go back and review just for a moment, says, this is the time and place where you decided to let your true self be who you are, rather than attempting to represent yourself as a stranger to the whole universe. Because that's certainly what you would be, unless you are willing at this time and place to let me show you who you really are. The offering of this Course in Miracles is an exchange of love, which comes from God and represents the entirety of the single self that we are. The lessons that we have been doing are sure indications that contained within you at this time and place is the power to make a decision about who you want to be. There's no mystery connected with this. You know perfectly well that in that self-identity, you expose to the world a power that you identify as yourself based on choices that you have made in regard to what you want to be. Look, I'm offering you a solution to your need to identify yourself that will show you in just a moment that this is the time and place where the entirety of you was suddenly exposed. And that's a little fearful. Was that just a little fearful to you there for a minute? You suddenly went, uh-oh. Okay. It was a release of the defense mechanisms that you employ in order to keep from seeing yourself in your entirety. Why? You're afraid. You're afraid to see yourself in your entirety. As you look at me now, does it occur to you that somewhere you have withdrawn in your own self-identity into a defense of that identity that is now being attacked or judged by the world, the forms of light that seem to be around you in their determination to force you into a continuing place and time where you don't belong? Now, you're watching this video. I am telling you that up until this moment, you did not belong in the space and time that you were in. I'm offering you, this is 158, and we might read just a little bit of it again. I'm offering you a solution based on my certainty that contained in your memory, along with mine, is a single memory of us coming into this little dark form, okay? We seem to be trapped in time and unable to escape it, because just for a moment in our memory patterns, we didn't have the solution. We call that amnesia, don't we? We call that, I don't know who I am, or where I'm going, or where I've been. And suddenly the time and place has come for you to begin to remember that. So we've been doing the lessons, the 150s. The workbook of A Course in Miracles is divided into daily lessons that you perform that bring about continuing changes in your self-identity. Say to me, they have nothing to do with the world. Say that. The change that I'm requesting you to make, contained within your own self, has absolutely nothing to do with the world. What you're afraid of is a belief that you lack the power to change your mind about yourself, okay? Because it's hard for you to see that if you change your mind about yourself, it's impossible that the world will not change. Okay, listen to me. We'll go back just for a moment and read to you the first paragraph of lesson 152. It's going to say, the power of decision is my own. Listen. No one can suffer loss unless it be his own decision. No one suffers pain except his choice elects this state for him. No one can grieve, nor fear, nor think him sick, unless these are the outcomes that he wants. And no one dies without his own consent. Nothing occurs but represents your wish, and nothing is omitted that you choose. Here is your world, complete in all details. Here is its whole reality for you, and it is only here that salvation is. So it's only right here that you're going to be able to see that the power of decision is your own. What? The power of decision is your own. You brought this world with you when you came. And I'm showing you a quick exit. Will you share this with me? The plans that you have made as a human, as a consciousness reality of identity, have heretofore been based on occupying a space-time location and subsequently suffering the loss of your identity, okay, through the belief that you are a body. Watch and say to me, I am not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me. Now, watch what starts to happen. You are identified and surrounding yourself with light form energy that represent a fearful association of yourself. With the declaration that you're not a body, that you are free, and that you are as God created you, you could not begin to have an experience of enlightenment. Because the power of your mind to decide that you wanted that to be true is why you're here. And heretofore, you've been exercising what? The power of your mind to remain within this enclosure of body. Okay? What have you been doing? You've been using your mind to justify your own form associations. I think I'm going to talk to you just for a moment about who I am and what I know and what I do. I'm a teacher of God because I underwent an experience that showed me a reality of who I am in association with the universe. Now, I can demonstrate that to you through a vision of my certainty of who I am, which is my certainty of who you are. Since I am certain of who I am, it's impossible that you not be certain of who you are, since we come from the totality of self-certainty based on the simple realization that there is one source of reality. Now, that was very simplistic to you who are very determined to organize your conceptual self in your own identity and remain in what we term a dark form of yourself. You'll now use your old memories. You ready? Should I talk to you for a minute? You're actually going to tell me that I'm 74 years old. Say that to me. Hey, old man. You're 74. Are you ready? That's absurd. You're letting this world within the prescription of the longevity of your space-time association tell you that you're 74 years old? Can I ask you a question? How the hell do you know you're 74? You're not 74 years old. Are you ready for this? You're ageless and eternal. There's nothing in the universe that is ever going to stop you from being whole and perfect as you were created. The provision of the miracle is for my mind, which I assure you is ageless, since all minds are ageless, to release the old gratification you receive from that aging body. I'm curious about something. If we decide to release this video, why can't you be as certain of eternal youth as I am in my offering to you? Because in reality, time is not passing at all. You brought time with you when you came here in your determination to stretch it laterally and identify your capacity to get old and to die. These lessons of the 150s have shown you that at this time and place, you have the power to change your mind, because I am showing you through my mind and yours shared in this moment of eternal youth and happiness that you're actually not that body. Now, look, say, there, did you begin to feel that? Now, in this Course in Miracles, this through my Savior Jesus, we call this healing. It's healing because I'm looking at you with the certainty that you're perfect as you were created. It's impossible that as you identify yourself in the aging process of your body, wherein you justify the sickness in association with the remedy that you found within this dark form, has any reality whatsoever. It's a representation of your fear of God. It is meaningless. So when you look at me and say to me, let's check his record, let's go back and see how he came to know this, let's justify within our own conceptions his apparent representation of himself as the Savior of the world. The question that arises in this, and this is again from the Savior Jesus, is whether you're ready to undergo an experience of being born anew in the determination that this is the time and place where you were both born, matured, and returned to heaven. That's my offering to you. Now, this lesson is going to say that someone has apparently taken your place. Someone, whoever that is, and it's a stranger. Why? Because you're a stranger to yourself. You're listening to a projection of your own mind that represents your fear. I am also, as must be the case, a projection of your own mind that is offering you your own certainty that this is the time and place where you decided to leave this continuum of time. And it will be true. I think we're going to get to lesson 160 in just a moment. Look with me real quickly. We'll go to 158, just two lessons back, and listen to how the description of who you really are is formulated in these lessons that offer you continuing conversions of your own mind. Look. What has been given you? The knowledge that you are a mind, in mind and purely mind, sinless forever, wholly unafraid, because you were created out of love. Nor have you left your source, remaining as you were created. This was given you as knowledge which you can't lose. It was given as well to every living thing, for by that knowledge only does it live, and you've received that. And everyone that walks the world, and we're talking right to you now, has received it. It's not this knowledge that we're trying to show you, for this is what creation gave, and all this can't be learned. What then are you expected to learn today? The lesson that we are doing now evokes a theme that was found early in the text. What is it? The experience that I'm offering you cannot be shared directly in the way that your vision of our reassociations can be. That's because the revelation that the Father and the Son are one is going to come in time to every mind, including your mind. Listen, yet is that time determined by the mind itself and not taught? Are you ready? The time is set already. It appears to be quite arbitrary, yet there's no step along the road that anyone takes but by chance. Why? It's already been taken by him, although he has not yet embarked on it. For time but seems to go in one direction. We but undertake a journey that is over, yet it seems to have a future still unknown to us. Time is a trick, a sleight of hand, a vast illusion in which figures come and go as if by magic. Yet there is a plan behind appearances that does not change. The script is written. When experience will come to end your doubting has been set, for we but see the journey from the point at which it ended. Looking back on it and imagining we make it once again, reviewing mentally what has gone by. Can you see what you're doing with me now? Huh? Will you share this with me? You're reviewing mentally, in our association, what has gone by. The problem that you have with this offering from my mind to yours is your review is limited to that little association of containment that represents what you think you are as a human being. My offering to you, and we'll be doing lesson 160 in just a moment, that says that dark self that you think you are is not who you are. But remember in the lesson that we just shared together, you have come to a time and place in your memory where we will remember together a memory of leaving this time and place. Do you see that? And after we did 158, we did into his presence will I enter now, based on the certainty that through the forgiveness of the idea of who you thought you were, releasing the grievance, okay, of your determination no longer to let the world tell you what you actually are in your own perfection, you have come to a realization at this time and place that the strangers of this world, who are meaningless projections of an idea of time, are no longer going to affect you. So this is your Course in Miracles, isn't it? And this is the time and place that you have come to and asked for and found the solution. Will you share that with me just a moment? We're going to take a look now just for a moment at lesson 160 in this course. And it's going to say that you're actually at home and that fear is a stranger here. Listen. Fear is a stranger to the ways of love. Identify with fear and you will be a stranger to yourself. And thus you are unknown to you. What is yourself remains an alien to the part of you which thinks that it is real, but different from yourself. Could you hear that? Who could be sane in such a circumstance? Who but a madman could believe he is what he is not and judge against himself? Listen, there is a stranger in our midst who comes from an idea so foreign to the truth, he speaks a different language, looks upon a world truth does not know, and understands what truth regards as totally senseless. Stranger yet, he does not recognize to whom he comes, and yet maintains his home belongs to him, while he is alien now, who is actually at home. And yet how easily it would be for him to say, "This is my home. Here I belong, and will not leave because a madman says I must." What reason is there for not saying this? What could the reason be except that you had asked the stranger in to take your place and let you be a stranger to yourself? No one would let himself be dispossessed so needlessly unless he thought there were another home more suited to his taste. Who is the stranger? Is it fear or you who are unsuited to the home which God provided for his son? Is fear his own, created in his likeness? Is it fear that love completes and is completed by? There is no home can shelter love and fear. They cannot coexist. If you are real, then fear must be illusion. And if fear is real, then you do not exist at all. That's exciting. Okay? This is the preamble to the Course in Miracles. Okay? What does it say? It says when you are fearful, you don't exist. And that might be a little tough for you, but you're coming to a time and place where the simple appeal of the idea that this is not a real place, all right, is going to take on more and more value to you, because through these lessons, what? You are beginning to see the alternative. And the more evident it becomes to you that there is, in a complete association of this space-time, going on in a complete continuity of it, okay, a transition to a continuum of time that represents the entirety of your home rather than a strange abode being represented by fear and anger and greed. Are you listening to this? They cannot exist simultaneously. One or the other is not true. If you are whole and perfect as God created you, and I am within your mind now telling you that is true, that you may be mindful of the certainty that our minds are communicating in a brand new space and time that you have been looking for in your attempts to associate your fear with the love of God and the love that we have for each other. You've discovered, I hope to your happy surprise and amazement, that all of the conceptual ideas you have had about yourself in order to retain that strange identity that the consciousness you assert is you could actually be true have now reached the point in your questioning mode where you're saying to yourself in a moment's discovery, wait a minute, okay, this little dark spot in space-time as I look out into the universe can't be true. I must have misidentified myself. I don't know how that came about, but I am being told by these lessons, by this association, that it's possible for me to change my mind about myself. We're going to have to leave you just for a moment. That was a fast 30 minutes, wasn't it? We're on television with a lot of these videos, and we have 30-minute segments. And this is lesson 160 that says fear is actually a stranger with where we have come now in this new continuum of time. We'll be back to complete this lesson in just a moment. You remember that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we are thinking in our application of this real alternative. I'll see you in just a moment. God bless us, everyone. This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. I see you're back with us already. This is lesson 160 of the Course in Miracles that says you've been a stranger to yourself. A reminder that this is A Course in Miracles, a required course, wherein through a practice you're able to change your mind about who you thought you were and see a brand new you emerging in the idea that we can share together the love of God. This lesson was telling us and has told us that we have been occupying a place in space-time where, say to me, everything is fearful. Yeah, yes. You found fear and you know you're in fear, yet you attempt to recover from it because you want to share the love that actually seems to be a part of you, although you can't find it in the space and time that you're in. This is a lesson Okay, this course is a lesson of your individual capacity to undergo an experience that will change your mind in your entirety about who you thought you were. And it will occur now, and it will occur in this time and space, because if you will accept from me my certainty that this is the only time and space that there is, and that this is when you underwent that experience of the release of your fear, the happy discovery that this light was actually all around you all the time is occurring. Little practice, You see that? Little practice, there, you see? Say to me, I can only give to myself. You see that? You see what happened just then? You momentarily released the defenses of yourself, okay? I'm gonna do just a little healing for you if you let me. I see you out there. Every single one that's watching this is suffering from some condition, all right? The power of the mind I'm going to show you to heal instantly will be this if you follow it with me. You thought you had a necessity within the fear that was being expressed in this time and place to hold on to both your love and your fear. When you do that, what happens? You end up loving your disease. It's impossible that not be so, because love is what truly represents you. Yet when you associate it with fear, you must believe that you would seek a remedy for the fear that you feel about yourself and call the remedy love. This is a very strange idea. Then you demand of your conceptual associations that they love you out of their fear. It's the same idea as taking an aspirin. It's the same idea that you suffer from a condition within yourself and seek a remedy outside of yourself in order to what? Retain the fear that you believe you are. Now, I'm looking at you directly and telling you the power of your mind to heal that disease, as well as the disease of everyone that you meet within this dark form, is yours very simply because the totality of your reality does not come from your necessity to defend yourself, despite your previous determination that it was true. So what you're representing to me is your need to hold on to fear. Now, let's take a look at the disease that you think you have. Okay, I have a case of, say that. I'm suffering from, okay? Now, are you ready for the healing? Say to me, I don't need it. Say that to me. I don't need that. Whatever this is that I've got, I don't need it anymore. I don't know how I don't need it, but I don't need it, I think, because I don't want it. Since there's not going to be any remedy for it out there, I might as just well let it be so that I can be whole and perfect as I was created, rather than needing to identify myself based on the association of that. There, look at that. Huh? Jesus says, pick up your pallet and walk. He teaches the illumination of your mind, very certainly, that you can heal the sick and raise the dead, but where's it going to have to start? In your own mind. If you're the cause of the sickness and the death, how could it not begin with you? Yeah, there's a lot of happiness going on in the kingdom. I saw a lot of you begin to see that. Well, what does this have to do with the doctrine of cause and effect and pain, associations, molecular identity of life? Absolutely nothing. All power is given unto you in heaven and earth. This from our Savior again. There's nothing that you can't do because you are a representation of the entirety of the mind of God. And you've been in fear for a moment. And that's leaving you through a practice of the simple release of the necessity for you to be sick. Now that may for a moment appear to be the release of the things you love, but you remember this. Heretofore, no matter what you have presented to me, somewhere you had loved the idea that you're going to be that old lady or that old man, that's now going to be confined to that nursing home. And it's not true. Don't you let the world tell you you're a body. You listen to this old 74-year-old. You are not a body, you are free. The idea that there are variant old thoughts in your own mind that cause you to continue to constitute the reassociation of your body to retain the particle wave association of your death are nonsense. That's what fear is. This lesson says that you've been representing yourself in the fear mode of light and are holding yourself together. This teaching is let yourself go. Huh? What is that? God dependency. Just for a moment, decide with me now that you're going to depend on God rather than all of the forms that you have held together to alienate yourself from eternal life. Thanks for putting up with my no compromise ideas about who I know you are. They're based on who I know I am. And that was a discovery that occurred in an annihilation. In a moment when I said to myself, there's got to be some way out of fear besides being fearful of it. And that was my discovery that through the love of God, I could spring into the bright light that's all around you now. Let's continue now with this lesson 160 that says, fear is a stranger here. Listen. How simply then, the question is resolved. Who fears has but denied himself and said, I'm the stranger here. And so I leave my home to one more like me than myself and give him all I thought belonged to me. Now is he exiled of necessity, not knowing who he is, uncertain of all things but this, that he is not himself and that his home has been denied to him. I hope you're hearing this. What does he search for now? What can he find? A stranger to himself can find no home wherever he may look, for he has made return impossible. His way is lost, except a miracle will search him out and show him that he is no stranger now. The miracle will come, for in his home his self remains. He asks no stranger in and took no alien thought to be itself. And it will call its own unto itself in recognition of what is its own. Who is the stranger? Is he not the one yourself calls not? You are unable now to recognize this stranger in your midst, for you have given him your rightful place, yet is yourself as certain of its own as God is of his Son. He cannot be confused about creation. He is sure of what belongs to him. No stranger can be interposed between his knowledge and his son's reality. He does not know of strangers. He is certain of his son. We're back for just a moment to talk to you about that because I want you to see the evidence that's now being exposed to you in the certainty that if you want to, you can part the veil of your conceptual self-identity and will be revealed to you on the other side who you really are. Okay. Since you thought you were a stranger to yourself and occupied this body, the light forms of your mind will be reflections of that body contained within your own previous cause identities. What are you going to get? A reflection of your own mind. What are you getting a reflection of? Will you say this to me? Say to me, a stranger. Yes. Could you see that with me? When you look at me as your teacher, and I assure you I'm teaching your own perfection, you see me perhaps as a stranger very simply because you see yourself as a stranger. I'm now reflecting back to you your old ideas of thought form that retain all of the fear of the space-time that you're in. You reflect them from your mind so that you can't see the true Christ that is representing us together in this time and in this place. Let's practice that just for a moment. There. So the reflection that you had of me from your own mind represented your need to protect yourself from the stranger that appeared to be outside of you. Will you do this with me? This is from my Savior. This is directly from from the New Testament of Jesus Christ. This says that the enemy, the brother out there that you are afraid of, is actually you. That's why the necessity that you love your enemy, that you give to your enemy, in the realization that it's going to come back to you, is the practice of the teachings of Jesus. He says to you very simply that all power is given unto you in heaven and earth. If you identify yourself as a stranger through fear of the strangers that appear to be around you, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You will depend on the possession of that fear in order not to allow your brother, who is a reflection of your mind, to enter into this new circle of light that surrounds us now, to the procedure of your individual discovery of being born again. There. How lovely that is as you release your defenses and you can begin to see yourself as whole, okay? This is called co-creation, but I want you to hear in a particular way. I'm not concerned about the vernacular of religion or so-called spirituality or the idea of power of mind versus evil, the representations that constitute separations of cause and effect. I'm concerned only that you see at this time and place that all the power of the universe is given to your mind because the universe is the power of mind. Everything that you see out here beyond the stars, in the billions of galaxies that represent light forms, are actually the only the power of your mind in its full realization of its innate capacity to represent itself as whole rather than this little tight bondage of a moment of separation that may still occupy you. So this lesson says that it's these moments, these holy instances are involved. You make sudden discoveries of who you are. Now, since they are losses of your old previous projections, they may frighten you for a moment. Okay, the teachings of my Savior, once again, Jesus, is very simply that you're afraid of the light. You depend on the dark forms of your conceptual association in order to justify yourself. The quote from the New Testament, if you'd like to hear it, is, "Seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear." Right? Okay. The human conception, as you represented yourself, cannot not believe that he is seeing something and hearing something. That very simply because he has found an association of time wherein he identifies himself in order to retain his necessity to exist. And I'm telling you it's not true. And you're at the time and place where you heard me and left this little world of darkness and of pain. This is your Course in Miracles. And what you just experienced there was a miracle. Let's complete this lesson now as you begin to release all of the fear that previously surrounded you. Lesson 160 of this Course in Miracles. Listen. So here we are now together. God's certainty suffices. Who he knows to be his son belongs where he has set his son forever. He has answered you who ask, "Who is the stranger?" Hear his voice assure you quietly and sure that you are not a stranger to your Father, nor is your Creator stranger made to you. Whom God has joined, remain forever one, at home in him, no stranger to himself. Today we offer thanks that Christ has come to search the world for what belongs to him. His vision sees no strangers, but beholds his own and joyously unites with them. They see him as a stranger, for they do not recognize themselves. Yet as they give him welcome, they remember, and he leads them gently home again where they belong. No one does Christ forget. No one he fails to give you to remember that your home may be complete and perfect as it was established. He has not forgotten you, but you will not remember him until you look on all as he does. Do you hear this? Who denies his brother is denying him, and thus refusing to accept the gift of sight by which his self is clearly recognized, his home remembered, and salvation come. We're going to talk about this just for a moment, if you'll share it with me. Okay, let's do a little parable about that lesson that we're sharing together. Somewhere, okay, Jesus has chosen and called to you since his resurrection, which actually occurred at the beginning of time, the idea that you have been misplaced in space-time, okay, and represents yourself as fearful and evil is why you're here. What you just heard on that lesson was that your whole self is searching for you. Look at it with me a moment, okay? The wholeness of the certainty that you were perfectly created, okay? As you identify yourself in the certainty of an association of time with eternal life, is why you're here. Yet it's impossible that the break that you think occurred in communication that represents space and time is not over. That could not be so, since there is one single reality of creative eternal life of which you cannot not be a part of. But just for a moment, it appears as though the communication has been broken. This represents everything that the human condition believes that it is. There is nowhere within the religious mythology of an idea of conceptual culture association where a solution to the problem of existence in pain and death is not asked for. All religions are based on requests to God, on requests to an unknown factor of joy and peace that can be given you in your need to find the solution. This lesson teaches you only that the solution is actually in you. These lessons of this Course in Miracles through the saviorship of Jesus show you that at any moment you have the power to see who you really are and have been called to return since the beginning of time. Time is simply an invention of your conceptual thought forms that does not allow you to see that the call is going on. When you were misplaced into fear, you became what is identified as sin or separation. In the Aramaic, Jesus, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, identifies sin as kata. It's an archery term that's used in his native language. He says, you are sinful. Listen, he says, you're off the mark. Just for a moment, you have been displaced from the certainty of the instant of your return to heaven. What a strange idea that this perfect world of light is actually going on all around you. Now, the power of the saviorship of any single mind to realign yourself within the fabric of space-time, in, let's call them for a moment, the vibrations of light that have caused you to hold on to a defense association of that power of form, has disallowed you to see that all around you is a vibration of correspondence of the entirety of your coming here and leaving. It's another world that you're about to see right now, aren't you? And how beautiful that world is going to look. Let's read from the text just for a moment all about the loveliness that's surrounding you now that you're beginning to discover. Listen. Can you imagine how beautiful those you forgive will look to you? In no fantasy have you ever seen anything so lovely. Nothing you see here, sleeping or waking, comes near to such loveliness. And nothing will you value like unto this, nor hold so dear. Nothing that you remember that made your heart sing with joy has ever brought you even a little part of the happiness this sight will bring you. For you will see the Son of God. You will behold the beauty the Holy Spirit loves to look upon and which he thanks the Father for. He was created to see this for you until you learn to see it for yourself. And all his teachings leads to seeing it and giving thanks to him. This loveliness is not a fantasy. Are you listening? It is the real world, bright and clean and new, with everything sparkling under the open sun. Nothing is hidden here, for everything has been forgiven, and there are no fantasies to hide the truth. The bridge between that world and this is so little and so easy to cross that you could not believe it. It is the meeting place of worlds so different. Yet this little bridge is the strongest thing that touches on this world at all. This little step, so small it has escaped your notice, is a stride through time into eternity, beyond all ugliness into beauty that will enchant you and will never cease to cause you wonderment at its perfection. What a beautiful description of the step that you are about to take with me. What does it say? The smallest step that you will ever take in all of space-time is stepping from the moment of the entirety of your location in space-time to what? The entirety of your location in space-time. Can you see this with me? It's going to be a momentary inclusion of all the things that you previously feared because you thought you had to exist in that little containment. So you've been searching for heaven where? In pain and death. And you have found moments of gratification in your shared love for each other. And you've had to base that shared love on the idea that you can get old and sick and die. And it's not true. And I'm here representing the certainty in your own mind that it's impossible that you're that body. I'm showing you through a process of a reassociation of your mind how you can reform that perfect body into what we call resurrection, and you will disappear into the light that's all around you. I'm glad you came, and I'm glad you were willing to listen to my uncompromising determination that you accept the perfection of you as I see you through my certainty of what we are now. At last, in this space and time. You remember this old world was over a long time ago. We're back here in memory, aren't we, from lesson 158, sharing the certainty that this is the time and place that we live. We'll be seeing you very soon now, perhaps on the other side. I can assure you that all of this dream of death is about over for you, because God goes with us wherever we go. We're certain now what? That God is the power of mind with which we are thinking. We join together now in that certainty as we give the love to this dark form that previously was our world. God bless us, everyone.